Comrade, you are listening to Good Morning Comrade. Get more information at goodmorningcomrade.com. We have a Thursday show today, and we have the whole crew. Aaron, Robert, Scott, and Jeff, all here in the virtual studios. What's going on, everybody?
Boop.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Happy to be here. Virtually.
Good times.
I'm in the new office now.
There's still a pandemic. I was going to say, it looks like you had a different color wall.
New office, same as the old.
Y'all, we are not. We are social distancing like pros over here.
Mm-hmm. I got a bigger room now. That's all good.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah, what the hell happened, Jeff? I thought you were gonna like ask me to come help you move.
We did it without you.
Wow. Fuck. That's great for my self worth.
Dang. I know you guys as friends, so I can't be a professional therapist in this situation. It would be unethical. So
one of our buddies, our mutual friends of the show, is it Kenzo? Is that his name?
That's Kenzo Shibata, yeah.
He retweeted something today, which was obviously like, it was like one of those fake Reddit threads, which people are like retweeting is real. But it was so, it was about how Kenzo said in his tweet of the, he said, mattress on the ground, guys. You have a new challenger, and it's a woman who told a story about her boyfriend didn't even have like a bed or a mattress on the ground. He had a nest of just like old clothes and like towels and shit. And I was like, this is fake. This is not fucking real.
You said her boyfriend?
Yeah, her boyfriend was like,
oh, like they're like exclusive. Like she was like, oh, you live like this. Let's still.
Yeah. She's like, if you're gonna spend the night over here, then you have to accept my nest. And I'm like, this is bullshit. This is one of those am I the asshole like bullshit posts. Mm-hmm. But it just like, it's one of those things that's like bullshit, but it's like just barely not bullshit because like, I was a mattress guy. I was a mattress on the floor.
You lived in squalor.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
I got a question about like the semantics of this before you get any further, Robert. What if you have a box spring?
You're still a mattress on the floor guy.
All right.
I consider that a mattress on the floor guy.
I don't know.
I'd rather my box spring on the floor because my dog can jump.
I don't have any feelings about it either way. Like I said, like I'm.
That feels like not mattress on the floor guy, Scott.
Yeah. You know? Like my mattress isn't on the floor, and I'm thinking about getting rid of my frame just so my dog can. I don't have to help him up every time. My dog jumped up on my bed like immediately after eating the other night, and he was just like, "Oh well, I overexerted myself," and he threw up on my bed.
Wait, Scott, how did I not know you have a dog?
Cause I probably didn't mention it.
What? Oh,
what?
How? Ugh, this is rude. Everybody's being so rude tonight.
Sorry.
I've
been rude tonight. I've actually been polite tonight because I told you about it. I've been rude just every other time we've known each other.
True. Thank
he's
you.
Doing the, right. He's doing the work.
Reframe, Scott.
Yeah.
It's making the change.
Hello?
No, you can never be mattress on the floor guy if it's in service of making a dog's life easier.
Well, I'm about to be again.
Can we talk about like why are dudes mattress on the floor guy? Because
of patriarchy and low societal expectations.
Or it could be because
question answered.
I mean, you said it wasn't a thing, but then you just like start coming at me, Aaron.
Perhaps
no, I'm saying it wasn't a thing for you because yours is like for noble purposes.
Yeah.
Or it could be because you were moved around so much as a child that nothing has permanence.
Okay.
Dramatic. That's why I'm asking. That's my situation. I just want to know why more people are mattress on the floor guys. So I was definitely mattress on the floor guy. I had a bed frame, and then like it broke. And then I just like eased into being mattress on the floor guy.
It happens, man. It's just it's that sounds like evolution to me, not any kind of devolution.
I really feel like
I mean, I it's
21-year-olds when you were in your 30s.
Do we know the origin of like mattress on the floor guy? Because that had to be on like somebody's Twitter or something like to begin with. Like, do we know the? Because
it's a thing. No, like it's honest.
I mean, you might be thinking about hot couch guy, but like,
no.
What is hot couch guy?
Let's talk about that.
I know about hot couch guy. I've had to sleep on the couch and it's been very hot before.
We said hot couch guy, not you.
No,
I don't know. Okay, I can't make any snarky comments because I don't know what how hot couch guy is.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Context, so I can be snarky too.
Hot couch guy. That's just the guy who like sleeps on the couch, right? Yeah.
But he's hot?
No. Hot? No, the couch is hot because you're always sleeping on it. That's like a military thing. When I was in the Marine Corps, I never had to do this, but if you're, let's say you're on a ship or a submarine, there'll be different shifts. Like somebody will have the night shift and they'll have the day shift. You guys will share a rack. So you'll have a hot rack.
Whoa.
So you'll all, so
I don't understand what that means. Like
the bed will never be cold.
Oh, so we're talking like literal temperatures.
Yes.
Yeah. I always thought
this is a 3-year-old meme at least.
I always thought it was like the couch is hot because it's just like not meant to be slept on.
I mean, that's someone, no, you're right.
As someone who eschews drinking and driving, I have been hot couch guy many a time.
Oh, I'm a hot couch girl every time I have a glass of red wine and put a movie on. Like,
yeah, there you go.
See, but I don't think that's the, I think the thing is like, oh, that's just like, you ever go into somebody's like apartment or house and there's just always a guy there who doesn't live there? Yeah. And I think that's hot couch guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy. I'm like, oh, that's just Dave.
A professional woman in my 30s, so I don't, that's not my experience.
Well, that's a thing. I've never been that guy, but I know that guy.
Yeah, you know me.
Oh, okay. Then there you go.
Boom.
I was hot couch guy until the quarantine happened, which I don't have a job anymore. In the house I used to walk to go to sleep when I was working late. It's still there, but I don't go there anymore quite as often.
Hmm. Well, man, we really are a diverse group on this show. Just all of
it. I mean,
couch guys, couch gals, and couch
represented.
Couch guys, couch gals, and couch nine binary pals.
Yeah, no, I love it. Love it.
I mean, I get it, my dude. Like, believe me,
So what's going on? Everybody?
Is that what Aaron asked?
Yes. God, please listen to me. I'm the only female on the show.
Jeez,
please
elevate my voice.
Platform women's voices.
Listening to you.
What are we doing? Progressive stack? It's me.
Okay.
No, that's a lie. It might be Robert. Yeah. Fine. Check religion and all that.
That's fine.
But how are you guys? Answer my question.
I have been spending a lot of time in Baton Rouge. I mean, that's basically what it is. Because,
why would you do that?
One, because I hate myself.
Yeah.
Two.
Yikes. Well, you don't have to go there for that.
Yes, buddy. Sometimes you just got to go places.
You got to set the mood. What better place than Baton Rouge?
But the other thing is that there's been a lot of controversy around this House Bill 59, which just got passed. It's one of these things where they want to sort of force us back to school and provide, like essentially make it so that we can't sue in our own defense if we get in certain problems with it. Now, the good news is there has been sort of an articulation of what a specific criteria of standards would be and who would set those standards. So, like, I'm not really interested in, like debating the specifics of it, but I will say that going to Baton Rouge is fucking exhausting. I'll tell you what.
I hate it so much. If I never go to Baton Rouge again in my life, I'd be happy.
It really does suck ass real bad. Yeah, Baton Rouge truly does suck. And that's a plug for Baton Rouge Sucks Podcast.
Mm.
They don't know us, but I listen to them sometimes. They're pretty good.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah, that's a podcast called Baton Rouge Sucks.
Might check that out.
They're not lying. Truth and advertising.
Pretty cool.
I mean, okay, I've had good experiences in Baton Rouge, but
have you?
I haven't been that many times. My friend used to live there. We'd have some fun there.
I lived there when I went to LSU.
Many times, but it was always to go to the women's prison.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun.
Trauma class. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can like consider that a good experience.
Yeah.
Filling experience, but not good. But okay, so this House 59. So this has to do with whether schools are going back.
No. Well, so it says the standard is if we go back to school, essentially that would provide immunity. And like I could get into the specifics and it's super complicated.
Nope. But essentially
the the idea is like
what subtle here, buddy.
What parameters would teachers and students have to essentially sue, like their what would their like legal right to lawsuit be in the situation that they get coronavirus on the job? And at this point, they're developing the BSEE board, the state level school board, is developing a set of standards by which, if you are complying with them, then you would be okay with it. And they're going to be informed by the CDC and all this other stuff. It's a mess. And my big sort of truck with the whole thing, just and let's get off of it after this, is that if. When teachers and kids go back to school, and if we're not ready for it, and it's not possible to comply with whatever magical standards we throw out there, because we don't know what the situation is going to be in a month when we return to school, are we going to be on the hook for liability here? You know, school districts are going to get immunity, it looks like. And
so you're asking if like a student could sue their individual teacher for giving them COVID?
Yes. And also that and it seems to be that question is no. But also the other question that comes up is, are we even ready to even start going down this road right now when coronavirus is spiking? Like, why are we talking about going back to school?
I've heard from multiple people that we're shutting down again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said I might go back to phase one.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
As a restaurant person. Because we were like just about to gear up. And that's not happening.
Yeah. I've heard that from multiple people. But so also, this is bringing up an interesting point. So people who are currently kind of on the front lines of COVID, so, you know, health, but also like post office workers, bankers,
janitors.
If you get COVID, is that a workman's comp issue?
So that was one of the things that were a part of this bill, which we did get sort of concessions for. If you do get coronavirus on the job, you essentially do qualify for workman's comp. Now, the problem becomes, A, you have to get coronavirus to qualify for workman's comp, and B, workman's comp is a percentage of your salary, so you'll be making less money, and you have to get coronavirus. So it's sort of like, well, that's not a really good deal, is it? You know?
But is, yeah, no, definitely not. But is there like a standard of proof that you have to show that you got it on the job?
That's like, yet to be determined.
Tracers come in?
That is to be determined.
This sounds like a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I think I want to go into like policy, something like this comes up, and I'm like, eh. Maybe not. I don't really. Let someone else talk about that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, now what the action is, the action is on the, like I said, the BSEE board, the state level school board, and they're the ones that are going to come up with the standards by which, like essentially they're going to be able to come up with enforceable standards that would essentially determine whether or not.
Well, I trust them implicitly. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Nothing will go wrong.
Yeah. Totally. Trust.
They absolutely have all of our best interests in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Great. We can close the chapter on that. No more worries.
Don't even worry about it.
No, I don't have a care in the world.
Mm-hmm. What else? So, and the other thing that's going on, and I've been talking to a friend of mine, the Cards Against Humanity.
What
workers.
Is that about, dude? Well,
yeah, I've avoided that discourse.
Did you hear about?
So wait. What do you mean you avoided the discourse?
I saw it came up on my Twitter timeline, and I like clicked on a tweet, And I was like, none of this makes any sort of sense to me. And I clicked out. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to engage with this. I already don't play Cards Against Humanity.
Right.
It ain't got nothing to do with that. I mean, like, essentially the workers that work at Cards Against Humanity are unionizing. They're creating a union. A friend of mine is actually.
Wait, okay. So we're talking about different discourse then, because the discourse I saw was that they had a Black employee involuntarily committed for bringing up racial injustice issues.
Wait, what?
Company. No, I said, oh, that sounds like a lot. I'm gonna bow out of this one.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty good reason to start a union, don't you think?
Pretty good reason to probably like not work there at all. Mm-hmm. Feels like a union is like not going to cut it.
Well, at this point, they're in the middle.
We're getting like orders of protective custody. Like, we're involving the coroner's office and like our day-to-day work struggles. Like, it seems like it might be time to just like cut it loose.
I don't know what you're talking about in terms of that specific incident.
I have heard of that.
I always forget. I'm talking. You guys are civilians when it comes to mental health. In order to involuntarily commit someone, at least in Louisiana, you have to go through the coroner's office, and they have to meet criteria for involuntary hospitalization, which is basically danger to yourself or others. So that's like suicidal, won't agree to a plan, homicidal, won't agree to a plan, or gravely disabled, which is either usually it's like someone is like fully psychotic, so they don't know where they are, and so they can't keep themselves safe. But it also could be are unable to feed, like they're not eating or drinking, they're not bathing, you know, like that kind of stuff. So that there's like a pretty high bar for involuntary hospitalization. So that's why when I like saw that, I was like, oh, I'm not trying about this, but it sounds like a nightmare. That whole company sounds like a nightmare.
So what I'm talking about is
such a liberal thing too, like Cards Against Humanity. Like every like douchey NBR party I've ever been to is like, let's play Cards Against Humanity. Mm-hmm. What do I expect from liberals?
Well, yeah, I only played it once. Mm-hmm. But it was with a bunch of people that had like bad senses of humor, so it was like not fun at all.
I'm like shaking my head. Is apples to apples not good enough for all you people?
No, I mean,
words out there.
That's all fine, but again, I just want to sort of express solidarity with the workers at this place who are deciding to step it up and join together and create a union, and they have a statement. If you'd like me to read it,
yeah, let's do it.
This is dated yesterday, June 30th, 2020. Cards Against Humanity's mission statement was simple: to delight. When we are at our best, we fearlessly run headfirst to reveal and push back against the ills of our society. When we are at our best, we make people laugh. When we are at our best, we bring people together. We work for Cards Against Humanity because we believe in the company's ability to do good in the world. We believe, but that's funny. We believe in the power of transgressive comedy, and we have the ability to jolt and inspire people out of complacency. We have tirelessly dedicated hours, months, and years of our lives to this company in service of these values. Let me fast forward a little bit. The time has...
So far, like, solidarity, but I don't think I'd want to be friends with any of these people.
The time has come for us to follow in the footsteps of our comrades at The Onion, Gawker, and Kickstarter. The time has come for us, the workers of Cards Against Humanity, to formalize our collective power and stake in this company through unionization. In doing so, we'll have a better-equipped collaborator with the partners to steward Cards Against Humanity away from the many external and internal issues plaguing it. Together, we can grow into a place that is decidedly good, decidedly just, and decidedly on the right side of history. We are grounded and culturally and systematically improving Cards Against Humanity's reflection of both management and workers' shared values. As we look to the future, we will not only continue to hold management accountable for dismantling systemic and institutionalized racism and misogyny built within ourselves as a union. We are fully committed to building the movement of our dreams, but to do so, it is imperative that we as a collective of workers have autonomy and thus power in advancing our mission. So essentially, there's a bunch of bullshit happening at the Cards Against Humanity company, and the workers are organizing against it.
God, that was so wordy, though.
It's four pages.
How do you qualify reaching your dreams?
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, again, solidarity, mm-hmm. but
it's solidarity, but what
people who like really like playing cards against humanity. Yeah. So their judgment is lost.
No, this is their job. This is their work. And
oh, no, that's fair. That is fair.
And they're getting recognized voluntarily, apparently. So what happens is when you file your, you know, when you declare yourself to be a union, the boss has the ability to essentially voluntarily recognize the union when you reach a certain capacity, or they can just say, well, no, y'all have to vote and determine whether or not you actually have the legal right to representation as a union. And it looks like Cards Against Humanity has decided to voluntarily recognize. So the next steps are going to be negotiating a contract, a collective bargaining contract between the workers and the boss.
Who are they organizing with?
This is with CMRJB, the Chicago and Midwest Regional Joint Board. And hopefully we can get somebody from there to talk about it on the show. I've actually reached out.
And the Cards Against Humanity people?
Yeah.
After I just talked like mad shit about them?
I won't tell them you said that.
I won't be on that episode.
Nobody listens to this shit anyway.
That is untrue. I just downloaded several episodes onto my mom's phone because she couldn't figure out how to work podcasts.
Okay, so, boomer.
And she gave us a 5-star.
Oh,
your mom
is a big sweetie.
Oh, hold your tongue. If you're saying nobody listens, you're saying my mom's a nobody.
There you go. Thanks, Lisa.
I should probably give us 5 stars. I haven't thought to do it.
Scott.
Look, it didn't occur to me.
I stuck up for you about the bed thing.
The bed man.
Don't make me look stupid.
Under the bus you go.
I'll owe you one later after this. We can be separate on this issue.
Fair. I'm currently in New Jersey, where it's 11 p.m., so I'm a little loosey-goosier than everybody else.
I didn't know you were out of town.
More wine than anyone could drink, literally, in a lifetime. And it's the good shit. So I'm feeling pretty good.
That's pretty nice. Good
about the world, except for like all of the stuff I'm not feeling good about.
How is Jersey?
Jersey is delightful. It is a mandatory masking place, so that's fun thing where you like,
so is Jefferson Parish,
somewhere essential, and like everybody's wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. So like, love that.
Cynthia Lee gave us the go ahead.
They are mad at Cynthia Lee, boy.
Why are they mad at Cynthia Lee Chang?
Mad son, Parish president.
Don't they recognize who her dad was?
I don't know who's her dad.
I don't know if it was her dad or if it's another family member, but it was Harry Lee. But
oh, that's why she won. Descendant.
Okay. It couldn't be that she's just like a qualified candidate.
No, it's not at all. Because her dad was Master Jailer, and you know, he was the sheriff.
Whose dad hasn't been Master Jailer though?
They actually like have bobbleheads around the city from when he was the sheriff, of like him like pulling his own pants up, because that was his big thing. He was like, everybody needs to pull their pants up. It was
like,
the worst.
He didn't have a belt, or that was just like a...
No, he was just like...
For
racist stuff.
Oh, well.
We did once go to a restaurant, and he was having a private party, though.
Did you yell at him?
No, he was in his own room. I'm sure it's come up, so they put him in his own room.
Hmm.
Yeah,
interesting place, I will say. Being in Jersey is making me introspective about my time in Louisiana.
I've never been to New Jersey, but I have a friend from Jersey. She was on the show on one of the lost episodes, but that was the day my dog died and I got too sad.
Oh my God.
That was the day you got drunker than I've ever seen you get before.
Yeah, because I had to bring my dog to the vet. I had to bring my dog to the pound to get it like put to sleep. And then they tried to talk me out of it.
Yeah, that's
horrible.
Like,
I don't want to get this conversation with you right now.
Oh, no. No, yeah. You get a pass for like, honestly, I'm still giving you a pass for that. That's traumatic.
You're so forgiving of Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, because Scott and I.
You have to be extra hard on Jeff now.
We're the two wild cards of this podcast, I feel like. I think if it was left to you two, it would just be like, come town, but like probably a little bit more feminist.
Speaking of Cumtown, them and
what's Cumtown?
Chapo both got banned. They got banned off of Reddit, their subreddits.
What is Cumtown? Like,
Cumtown is like the worst people you can think of that have their comics, and like all their comedy is super problematic and like super terrible. They're still stuck in that like 90s. They use gay as like interchangeable with anything that's bad. So be like, that's so gay, bro. And then they constantly just make homophobic jokes all the time. They're honestly what they are. They're funny. I'm not saying they're not funny.
I listen
to that shit. They hit me hard. They're funny. They're just like three closeted gay men, to be honest. I'm not being funny there, because even their fans, like their longtime fans, will say the same thing. Because everything they say is like, oh, it's so gay. It's like, wouldn't it be funny if I like gave you head right now? They're just three closeted gay dudes.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, so Robert and I went for a walk with our lovely dog, Johnny, the other day, and Robert decided it was a great time to just play like a 12-minute Cumtown bit just on his phone while we're and then he was like, no, but you're going to find this funny. And I was like, we've been together for like 7 years at this point, and I just don't understand how that was a thing you thought about me.
Wow.
That's pretty good. So,
those stakes were higher than I could have possibly imagined that they would be.
Oh, buddy. Cumtown is mad triggering for me.
Aaron hates him real bad. I hate that I like him so much.
Anyway, what happened?
Oh, they just got, because you know how they went on Reddit, went after the Donald, and they canceled the Donald.
So they feel like
there has to be some kind of equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
The law of equivalent exchange. We've all seen the show.
Yeah.
It's called bringing balance to the force.
But you know, of course, like Chapo doesn't care. Like the Cumtown boys don't care. They're just like, LOL. Like, that's not even anything to do with us. Mm-hmm. We don't control those subreddits. Who cares? Like, so they don't care. Nobody cares. That's kind of their whole thing. Is mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah. No. That's worked out really well in history. It's just a bunch of like ironic people not caring about stuff.
It's true.
Never goes wrong.
I wouldn't say that they don't care about things, but they certainly did not care about the subreddit, which had like nothing to do with those shows. It was just a bunch of fucking psychos on the internet.
You really should not care about subreddits.
Definitely.
Not at all.
That should just be a thing you don't care about. Like,
subreddits are stupid.
Across the board.
If there was ever a subreddit for this show, I would be embarrassed.
I'd be the moderator, okay?
I already secured it. We do have a subreddit. But I just wanted to take it before somebody like tried to take it. Kind of like a domain.
Before they try
like
to smear our good name.
Yeah. So we actually do have a subreddit. Just nobody.
So subscribe to it.
Yeah, subscribe to it and
don't
I'll never
do it.
Be there. I'll never be there ever. Don't worry about it.
It's just going to be me posting pictures of Johnny and then going on like unhinged wine rants about like my dislike of Cumtown.
Damn.
If that's content that's interesting to you, please.
I mean, this show does have a Discord, but it only has one follower because I stopped following it.
So nice.
Scott, why would you stop following it?
Because it was an experiment for like before Zoom happened. So like, because it's a lot easier to use. And I was like, we should just use Discord.
Right. Ain't nobody got time for all that. Discords and all that other bullshit.
No, like they have a video function, so like that's what we're gonna use it for. So,
sure. Anyway. That's Jeff's thing anyway. He likes to hang out in Discords. Go, hey guys, you heard of podcasting? It's pretty cool. We got podcasts.
What are you talking about?
Come check it out. Every now and then, I'll get like fucking messages and shit from people, like on Twitter, be like, hey man, like I found out about you from the Michael Brooks Show podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll be like, okay.
That's where
I'm like, that's
this
Jeff
show.
In there, like, fucking, like, handing out virtual flyers, like that. Like, he's like one. Jeff is like one of those the strip club guys in Vegas who are just like, check it out.
No, I engage in deep and meaningful discourse with people online.
Check it out.
Okay, that's what happens.
The only true organizer. of a
and I'm getting shit for it. Can you believe this?
Check it out. You, Jeff, for making us be more popular.
For reaching out to people.
Is this a Tuesday episode?
No.
We're going to be sellouts.
I've been holding back on purpose.
To this, it's like, can't even, it's the man. We can't even say what we want to say anymore.
And I was holding back.
I talked mad shit about Chapo, and we still have one of the Chapo guys on here, which like, just makes me believe that they didn't listen to us before.
I mean,
Christian's
I really...
like crazy though. Matt Christian.
No, he's good. They're...
He's like, he's slow. He's lost his mind. Like, if we get, like, who you, and he's all right. Like,
no, he's good.
What you don't want to get, honestly, like, we got to book Felix. Because
Do it. Go for it.
Because that brings us one step closer to the cum town.
Felix, okay, I will leave this fucking podcast.
the Felix cum town, like, connection is like, it's like completely, it's strong. Like,
can't have it.
He is their tendon. Like, he is the what do you call it? The pathway or whatever,
I didn't realize
Underground Railroad.
I didn't realize this was going to turn into a production meeting.
Well, guess what?
I just want to be like Cumtown and just be like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, guys. Sweet. For like 2 hours and make like $500,000 a year. Just going, fuck yeah, dude. You remember that movie? Wasn't it gay?
Damn.
Yeah. Fuck you.
I hate everything about this.
I'll take $500,000, please. Thank you.
But Robert like baits me. He just sends me Cumtown things all the time. And yeah. Right now, and I'm just getting angrier and angrier. And this is the first time we've talked. More Cumtown things.
You really like.
Just needed to get it all out.
You really like Stop, don't you? He's your favorite, right?
I mean, why would y'all be on a phone call together? Y'all just gonna have to do a show.
Yeah. No,
yeah, Aaron, isn't that right though? The Stav, he's like your favorite, right?
I heard your question.
The obese Greek guy.
To answer your question, because it's rude. I've seen him so much. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to a productive thing in our lives, aka shut down the Save America rally.
Speaking of radio, Cumtown
could never.
What's the Save America rally?
Speaking of radio hosts.
If you remember our most recent episode of Good Morning Comrade on last Thursday, we talked about the Save America rally. Fill us in on what that is, please, Aaron.
So I have a little bit more of a like personal thing because I have been like a little obsessed with Mimi Owens for like a couple of years now.
Who's Mimi Owens?
So Mimi Owens is one of the... she is one of the organizers of the Save America rally. Although on GoFundMe, I think she goes by like Mika's O, which I'm like, all right, let's.
But then has her actual profile picture.
Is she related?
Because boomers are not good at OPSEC. Like,
is she related to Candace Owens?
She's not even.
Oh, she's absolutely a boomer. Are you kidding me?
She doesn't look that old. She looks as old as
Oh my God, Robert.
She looks like our parents.
Botox. And I say that. With no shame, not a body shaming thing, but she has had Botox.
All right. I don't know these things.
This is the important question. Is she related to Candace Owens?
No.
I would assume not, but you know, lineage is a crazy thing. So she is a woman in New Orleans who she came to my attention because she was banned from Knicks, which is the crew that I used to ride in, which is having its own separate set of things that we should probably talk about. But she threw a bunch of Confederate, like Robert E. Lee. And
Lee Circle Forever type shit.
Off of the float, which like is illegal. So that was like a whole thing. So then I started reading her, like I like started lurking on the Save Lee Circle Facebook page, and it is like deeply hilarious and sad at the same time.
It's so racist.
It's so much. It's so much. It's a bunch of people. It's like, so okay, quick little course for anybody who is listening to us outside of Louisiana. So we have a circle that's like a very prominent circle. It's like right by like our business district and like close to the quarter and Mardi Gras, like it's on the Mardi Gras parade route. it used to have General Lee very prominently displayed on this like gigantic pedestal. And it's called Lee Circle because of that statue. And it got removed, what, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? It was like under Mitch Landrieu. Well, at any rate, so it got removed. There's a lot of people who are still like big mad about it. She is like the biggest of the mads about it. She also wrote a children's book.
Oh, no.
About Confederates.
Oh, who's that man, like, Daddy? Who's that man in the sky? About the...
Oh, yeah, that's not a joke. That's like the actual book.
Maybe we should do a reading of that book.
No.
No, because you have so to buy much. It.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I just saw what the picture she posted. But yeah, so anyway, I've been like very fascinated by her because then she also had a radio show on like another network, definitely not WHIV. Like WHIV would never, but it was called The Right Chicks.
Oh, that was her?
Both like
yeah.
Trump lovers.
We already destroyed her once. We'll do it again.
It was like just reply guys, like as far as the eye could see, like look at these beautiful conservative women. And I was just like, that really funny. So yeah, so apparently she's fucking this dude and like they started a Save America rally.
Yeah, boom. That's it.
We talked about it in a previous episode.
Yeah. Did I summarize it properly?
No, you didn't.
What is a Save America rally?
Well, they're trying to save America, and I think they're rallying.
What are they trying to save America from?
Probably black people. Probably also communists, I'm assuming. I don't know. I haven't talked to her.
She's big into like
very vague
and like Antifa is like a organized thing and like somehow I listen to her show
I just like don't understand that
I listen to her dude Twisted. Show every day Jeff Coulier or some shit like that and actually
that is like definitely the guy who was dating Alanis Morissette.
No,
that's Dave Coulier. Dave Coulier from
let me look him up right now. Hold on.
Full House.
Don't slander Uncle Joey like that.
Cut it out.
See, I just want to make sure his name is because I just tweeted
Jeff Coulier.
Yeah. Some shit like that. And here's the thing. Like, I
feel like we're gonna get libeled for this, allegedly, to all of this.
About what?
Allegedly, Uncle Joey.
Any of this stuff. Everything that we say in here is alleged.
Oh, no. They are an item. They, like, confirmed it on the show today.
Oh.
I listen every day.
Love is real. Love is real.
Are you one of the reply guys? Like, hello, my beautiful queen.
we do have, like, a MILFy weather lady who, like, on one of my, like,
she's
my
not MILFy. Job, she is a MILF.
Yeah, my job requires me to be on Twitter, like, all day. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I would say 30% of my job is just being on Twitter. And so I like am hooked into all these people. And it's like people just like old thirsty men tweet at her like, good morning, beautiful. And
who is this?
Yeah.
Margaret Orr.
Margaret Orr.
Oh, OK. Yeah.
She's the redhead.
I mean, she's hot. Like, let's be real. Man, yeah, I would reply guy Margaret Orr for sure.
Damn.
We actually had somebody that went to our high school that was a weather person for a little bit.
Who?
I don't remember her name, but she was in 12 Angry Men.
What? Oh my God.
The high school production of 12 Angry Men.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're talking about. Oh. Let's not blast her name out there.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
We digress. So dude and this lady are fucking.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're gonna save America.
Right. So here's my analysis on the show. Somebody who listens every day.
Big fan.
Big fan. Okay.
First time, long time.
And I'm not even trying to, this is where I'm actually being serious. Like, I'm somebody who's like hate listened to conservative talk radio since I was a child. And there was a time where like conservative talk radio had like a lot of sway in this country. And when you listen to this show, you can tell like that time has gone. Like that time's over with. Here's my take on Jeff. Let me rewind here just a little bit. So the show is not even entertaining in like a Rush Limbaugh or like Alex Jonesy or like Mark Levin kind of way. It's just like the dumbest people in the New Orleans Metroplex area.
Like GNL.
They still want to know what happened to Seth Rich.
Yeah, I mean, no, they talk about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. So here's my take on Jeff. I mean, it's his name, Jeff.
On me, yeah, I know.
He is a guy who, like, he's been running this grift, like this conservative talk radio grift for a while. He's kind of, he's smart enough, but he just never really made it. So it's like, he peaked out, and now that, like, the talk radio game is dead, like, this is kind of, like, what he has. But he's a smart enough guy, because the reason why I say that, I can hear like the annoyance and almost the sadness in his voice as people call in and they talk about how 5G is a plot from the Insane Clown Posse and Obama to steal your brain and to make you like when his boo is talking about stuff like she literally said this today. She goes, you know what? This is how it starts. It starts with you want me to wear a mask, and I'm not going to do it because after the mask, you're going to want me to wear a niqab. And then after that, you're going to have me in a full burqa. I am a beautiful. And he's just like, yeah, okay.
Actually say the
she's
word
on niqab. To us. She's on to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, she did say that. She did say niqab. They know a lot about things, because if it's something about Shakira Law, they'll tell you all about it. But no, but you can hear it. You can hear it in his voice. He's just like, yep.
That's fast. God, so that's
he's like, I wish somebody would call. He's like, I wish somebody would call that didn't want to talk to me about 5G. And like,
yeah, well, last time that happened, it was the dude running for governor and he dropped a hard R N word.
That happened.
Rob Manass no, it wasn't Manass, it was someone else. Right? It was it was Landrew. It was Landrew's brother.
It was whoever had like the full on Star Wars font as their campaign literature. I just like remember pulling over like the Claiborne Avenue like overpass and just coming. It was like Gary Landrew.
Gary Landrew.
Just Star Wars font.
Build the wall. Yeah, I remember that. Those ads. Hi, Johnny. So that's my dog in New Jersey.
You know when I'm in Jersey.
That's my dog in New Jersey. So here's the thing, but now Mimi is a different story. Mimi is, I actually have more sympathy for her, like, bless her heart. I don't want to say, like, she's not very smart. And when I say she's not very smart, I don't mean, like, she's just not equipped to, like, have conversations about anything.
But and she's prepared to do it anyway.
She's somebody, honestly, like, Jeff, I would not... Okay, to put it this way, I put out a call. She said today, she goes, you know, I don't understand what's going on. These statues are coming down. Y'all want to destroy America. She goes, any of you Antifa punks call in here today and you tell me what the, you know, blah, blah, blah. I tweeted at him because I can't find her on Twitter. And I tweeted at him. I said, hey, your partner said you want some. I was like, I don't got time to call you. But I kind of threw it around. We have a podcast with International Reach. It's like, set it up. I was like, I can go on your show. You can come on ours. I'd love to talk to you. Jeff, I'm not so interested in talking in because I know he's more culpable in this because he seems like a halfway smart guy. Mimi, I would want her to ask me good faith questions and then I could give her answers and know whether she accepts those answers and what she chooses to do with them or not. That's up to her. But I feel like she hasn't even been exposed to any other kind of thinking that's outside of I don't know, the sky is falling and I'm a white lady who needs to be protected from everything. So I have more pity on her.
I don't.
But today, just to give you an example, like I could totally understand why you would say that. So she's on her rant today. It was like clockwork. She's because they just have open phones. I don't know. I've never tried to call them. I don't know if they have a call screener. I think they do. But so there's a call. No, she's on her rant about, oh, I'm not wearing a mask. COVID is a Chinese hoax. Wuhan flu, blah, 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 blah. This guy calls in and goes, hey, guess what? I just got out of Jefferson Parish Hospital. I was in there for 30 days. Like luckily they didn't have to vent me. But now he's like, I had to relearn how to walk. My lungs are fucked up permanently. I'm never going to be right again. So how about wear a mask? And they were like, don't know what to say about that. They were like, damn. And you could tell like the, all the air got sucked out of the room. And I just, I just felt bad for her because it's almost like no one's ever confronted her with this to be like, no, like people are actually dying from COVID, like younger people, like you can catch this. It is fatal. And even if it's not fatal, like you, there's a good chance you won't ever be right again. So I would love to have a conversation with them about any topic they want to talk about. It would just be, it would be informative because I just would like to know what the fuck are they thinking? Like, because so, with him, I think it's a grift, 100%. This bullshit ass rally that they're going to have, that I'm proud to say that like us and our friends got shut down, not shut down, but they had a GoFundMe. They wanted 25 grand for this thing. And we got GoFundMe to take it down. But I'm like, what the fuck do you need $25,000 for? This is obviously a grift where you guys were going to pocket a ton of money.
Bullshit. So did you see the video that they had on the news where they literally had a house that was for sale in the clip that they had with the news? You could even make out the phone number of the real estate agent on the TV clip. So my thought is,
oh,
this is a grift to try and sell their house in Jefferson Parish.
They're pissed off somehow. That's another ripple in this. They're pissed off about that WDSU coverage because our mutual, Aaron and I mutual friend, Tom, actually did the, he was the guy on the scene for that. They're pissed off about that because they said like it got them, put them in a bad light somehow, which it completely didn't.
The reporter, the reporter played it so straight. Like, he played it so straight.
Yeah, that's what he does. Like, he's a good dude. But, no, they're just like...
Who's the reporter?
I can't say his last name, but he's a Tom.
Tom
Tron, thank you.
Yeah.
Not John Tron. That's why I don't want to say his name. I think I'm going to say John Tron.
It's not John Tron.
You're canceled now.
No, but so I saw a clip of her talking. It was like a recent episode, but someone posted on Facebook. She was talking about like, why don't Black people just like get over it? And then she said, well, even if they were brought
get over what?
You know,
slavery, yo, is the big
adverse circumstances. And I was like, well, that is quite a phrase. So I've been, like I said, I've been fascinated with her for a while. I like miss her dynamic with the other right chick, but like you can't have two like hot middle-aged women together. It's like,
oh, they're not hot.
I mean, for middle-aged ladies, they're pretty hot.
For the kind of guys that in their circle, I guess they would.
They're like a Sarah Palin. You know, remember when like that was?
No, she's way hotter.
Like, and they were just like, oh, this is what conservative women look like. And then they had a picture of Hillary Clinton. And they were like, that's what liberal women look like.
No, she's more like
on like the Sarah Palin end of that.
No, Sarah Palin's way hotter. Like she's.
Are we really getting into this?
Yeah,
we're really getting into this.
We have to frame this correctly. She's more of a. She's more of a pre. If you turn, if you like two steps down. Pre-baby Meghan McCain.
Wow. You have her attention now. You have Aaron's attention when you say Meghan McCain.
I was like mulling it over. I'm like, that's not a bad description.
Like, there's so
Meghan McCain was a redhead.
There's so many hotter like conservative chicks. There's like Essie Cupp is way hotter.
What do you want to do a tier list on this?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, who's in the S rank for like evil conservative chicks?
I know Blair White's in the A-list, but nobody wants to talk about that.
Who is Blair White?
She's a YouTuber.
Is she conservative? I'm really interested in this now.
Yeah, you've seen Blair White. We've watched Blair White videos together.
Let me see.
Hunter Points is like Nemesis.
Hold on. I'm trying to find her right now. Blair, is it just B-L-A?
Hey, you know who Blair White is, Robert. This is so
No, rare. I'm serious. I don't know.
You were the one who introduced me to Blair White.
No way.
Yes, way.
Oh, is she trans?
Yes.
Oh, she's not that hot.
She's very hot.
No, she's not. She's hot. She's not as hot as like Essie Cupp. And Essie Cupp's like,
I don't know who Essie Cupp is.
After you have your Google up, Essie Cupp's like an atheist too. She's like an atheist right here. So that makes her like even hotter.
I am married. I am very
like Essie Cup is hotter. I mean, Essie Cup is older, so you can't compare that to what's her face. Like I'm not saying, and I want to get this very clear. I'm not saying that Blair White. I'm Googling right now. I'm not saying she's not hot because she's trans. I'm saying like Bailey J is like super hot. So let's just get that out of the way.
Well, Essie Cup is like she's just not. It's like your version.
Yeah. Thank you. You nailed it.
But Blair White is like everybody else's version of hot.
Absolutely. No, that's true. That's true. I have weird standards. Like
Robert's like creme de la creme of hotness is like a mixture of like Veruca Balk and Winona Ryder. And then Janine from
Ghostbusters.
Like if those three women could like somehow combine, like Robert would definitely leave me. Like for sure.
So yeah, so we're saying that. I mean, I will give
you. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about any of this.
Are we gonna say that Blair White is S rank? Like no, that's fine. S is the highest.
We're not saying anything.
S rank is the highest of the highest. It's okay, Japanese yeah. video game stuff.
We're not okay. saying all this. You're saying that.
Oh no. Scott's gonna leave me.
Blair White is S rank.
Scott, okay, she's S rank. So, and then
what is like the one underneath S rank?
That'd be like A's.
Okay, I think that Meghan McCain is A rank, but I'm
no. What?
Really similar. So watch what you say, Robert.
Wait a sec. Where? What? Like what? Meghan McCain? When? What years?
Meghan McCain and I are similar.
No, I asked you what years.
All the years.
Okay, let me play a game here. So I'm gonna bring up
Megan. Don't bring
McCain.
Yourself down to her level.
No, because there was a time I thought she was really hot too. Honestly, there was a time Aaron and I've had this conversation. I had a crappy job at the airport and I used to listen to her talk show. Like it was like overnight. So her show came on really late at night and I would listen to it while I was going into work. There was a time where I thought like Meghan McCain was like one of the most dangerous voices in America.
It was a moment where she almost was.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Jeff? Can you explain that? Why that is?
Well, it was because I tended to agree with you on that in the sense that like Meghan McCain did seem to have this very dangerous approach, and part of it was because like she was really good friends with Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks, and they would like do like hangout videos or whatever, and like they did this sort of like really fucked up and weird like I'm a conservative and you're a liberal and we can get along with one another sort of stupid things. That's you know that paired with the like Meghan McCain being John McCain's daughter made it seem just absolutely terrifying, like the fact that you know like the Young Turks or whatever, which is an organization that I'm you know pretty up and down, hot and cold on, especially with their labor practices, would like lend any kind of legitimacy to this to Meghan McCain, who was definitely doing a lot. She was not as aggressively like psychotic as she is now.
Yeah, but she told on herself for sure.
Yeah, she like turned. She like made a mega super turn towards Karenhood after. A, she married that dude from that stupid magazine that I can't remember.
Who negged her?
It's because he negged her.
And then
her.
B,
like losing her mind.
And then B, she like, look, John McCain died, and she got a job on The View. Like those, that was like the you know three steps towards her just absolutely coming out into total like maniac space.
No, I agree. Yeah, until she like started to tell on herself, like you said, like she just started, just her huge Karen turn.
I mean, she was clocked from the beginning. Let's be honest here. She was clocked from the beginning, but like she just went like beyond when she couldn't get it, when she couldn't get the like reasonable thing through anymore.
Yeah, that's it. Because she had that whole book with like Mo Rocca or whatever. Is that who?
No, it wasn't Mo Rocca. It was
Michael Ian Black.
Oh yeah,
oh,
I used to really like him. I thought
that dude.
God,
sucks.
I thought he was so funny.
That dude sucks.
He's the worst.
Do you remember Viva Variety with like Thomas Lennon and all that? Like in the mid 90s? That was like when Comedy Central had that like experimental comedy bit. Like they would show stuff like Viva Variety and like Upright Citizens Brigade. And they just said like, because Viva Variety was like Thomas Lennon, his wife, who I don't know her name, She's like the weird lady on
My Wife
on Reno 911. Thomas Lennon's Dangle from Reno 911. Oh, yeah. And his wife is like the weird lady.
They love her.
And they had this whole like weird variety show comedy thing, and it was pretty good. And that's where Michael Ian Black was on. He was like, because that was their thing. You just did the Borat My Wife thing. Their thing was they were supposed to be a variety show in like some weird European country. So his name, Michael Ian Black's character's name was like, my name is Johnny Blue Jeans, and I'm from like Moldavia or some shit. Mm-hmm. And this is, I can't wait to be in your country. We're gonna do a show gimmick. For you. Yeah, it was the same gimmick. It was like a boring.
It just also kind of feels like that comedy is extra cruel now because I feel like all those countries have like no COVID cases anymore. And we're just like, my wife, and they're like, my COVID. We don't have any of it.
That's true. We can't even go to Europe anymore, man.
No, we can't.
It's fucked up.
Speaking
man.
Of Borat / Sacha Cohen, did y'all see that he went undercover at one of these like rallies or whatever?
So tell me about it, because I saw a headline and I didn't read into any of that, but good Lord.
So he went, and I don't actually know what the rally itself, I think it was one of these like Save America rallies. It was like an anti Black Lives Matter rally, mm-hmm. but I don't know who was, it was definitely like a white supremacist group, but I don't know mm-hmm. which group. But so he went in disguise and went as like a folk singer. And it was a lot. It was like a 9-minute song, and he had people singing along to, they were like, Dr. Fauci, what we gonna do? Chop him up like the Saudis do.
Whoa.
Clapping rad, and singing parody. Along. It was so much. It was Dr. Fauci all over the place. Dr. Fauci, what we gonna do? Hope he gets the Wuhan flu.
Oh my God.
Nightmare. Just straight up nightmare. So he got kicked out. That was a whole thing. But the best part was apparently the security firm that they hired. I don't know if like they just hired, I don't know what the situation was, but he was like able to like co-opt them. So when they realized he wasn't like legit, they couldn't to the stage because like security blocked the actual organizers.
Here's what they did. I'll tell you exactly what happened. So what happened was at the last minute, they said, hey, we're this conservative group from wherever. We will pay for like the venue and we'll pay for your security because we agree with your message so much. We want to help you do this. And they said, great. And they accepted all this money. So Sacha Baron Cohen's people like actually booked the security. So the whole time it was his security. So as soon as he took the stage and they're like, get him the fuck off, the security was like, get away from the soundboard.
So but then the best part is like, so he finishes up, they like kick him out. He comes back in another disguise as a journalist and is like asking them questions about what happened. And I'm just like, yes, I love this.
It's pretty bad, yo. It's pretty rough. Yeah.
Booyakasha.
I think our... Not to call back to 30 seconds ago. I think our list is, I'm not trying to be funny. I think our tier list is dead. Cause I'm sitting here with Damn. Google and I'm trying to, I just put in like hot conservative women and it's pretty
good. Did you Tommy really Lauren. Google that?
Tommy Lauren's
Tommy hot. Lauren is not for like okay, bro, Buffalo have, Wild Wings guys.
Okay. You have to put yourself aside. You are like not the standard. Again, you think Janine from Ghostbusters is like.
For guys who are like. Who guys who are like, I will, I don't know, the guys who are like, oh, I don't even know, guys who like wear tap out shirts still and Affliction shirts, and then also guys who are like.
Most guys, to be fair. German,
guys who are Jordan Peterson fans, I guess.
Yeah, again, most guys.
Yikes.
Nah, nobody's Jordan Peterson fan anymore. Jordan Peterson. All right,
well, here, I'll tell you what. Nobody. Is that true? Does everybody abandon Jordan Peterson?
Zizek I mean, killed
didn't
him.
Didn't he just get deplatformed?
Zizek put him in a coma. It's amazing.
No.
Zizek put him in a coma.
Zizek was like kid gloves on that guy. We were watching two different debates.
I mean, he did end up in a coma after, didn't he?
Are you saying for real? I don't know.
For real, he did. Juszczyk did it.
All right.
I was going to say, he was in a coma for like a while, right?
Maybe he chilled out. I don't know.
This is my problem. I'm like not on Twitter enough, and I don't read any other news sources. So I'm like, I get like little bits and pieces of random news sources, and then I feel confident talking about them.
I know why he got in a coma, right?
Like, oh yeah, Jordan Peterson, definitely in a coma.
I know why he got on a coma, right?
Why?
He was like addicted to some kind of pill. So he went to Russia where they changed out all his blood.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
That is 100% true.
They changed out all his blood?
Yeah, it's like a thing that's not legal in America. So, yeah.
What?
Yeah, because the pesky little thing called the FDA.
Yeah, pretty much. They took all his blood out and they put it back. Like, or they put some other kind of blood.
So he got addicted. So here's an article from the New Republic from March of this year. He was spent 8 days in a medically induced coma at an unnamed clinic in Russia. Peterson's daughter, Michaela, a 28-year-old food blogger, posted a brief but dramatic video. That's so tragic. Claiming that she and her father had traveled to Russia in early January seeking an orthodox treatment for his physical dependence on clonazepam.
Clonazepam.
Dependency goes against the core tenets of Peter's philosophical brand, stoicism, self-reliance, the power of the will over circumstance and environment. No one gets away with anything ever, so take responsibility for your own life, he admonished in his best-selling self-help book, 12 Rules for Life. So, just kind of like, he ended up going into a coma because he was addicted to the... I mean, it is sad in a sense. I mean, like, this person who's... It makes perfect sense that somebody who claims to have so much agency over other people also have zero control over themselves. They're just... Everything is outward-facing, prescriptive, but when it comes to, like, dealing with yourself, they're just like... who cares?
I mean, I think this actually falls right in line with his teachings because
he didn't clean his room.
No, yeah, he didn't clean his room. He just cleaned his blood.
I don't know enough about his teachings to. I feel like that was probably clever though.
All I know is cleaning your room thing, and we should be like lobsters.
All I know is that this is a real life. Hashtag life hack. If you are addicted to benzos, the withdrawal can kill you. So don't try and do it your own. Don't try and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No cold turkey.
Get your blood changed out. Go get your blood switched.
Yeah.
I feel like this is more like traumatic to your body. Just getting new blood. Like getting a new organ is like very difficult and it's like hard to recover from. Like getting all new blood.
Yeah, but blood is liquid, so it feels like that it's better, right? It's like it could just like goop down better than a heart, right?
I don't know. I think that's like.
Doctor, please call in.
I mean, I feel like it's like if you have like a peach tea Snapple and you switch all of the Snapple out with like kiwi, like lemonade Snapple, like it's not the same thing. It's just all different. It's got to be a shock to your system, you know?
Yeah, but, like, would that give you a coma?
No, the Snapple thing wouldn't, but probably the blood thing.
I don't know. All I know is I'm on our conservative hot women right now, and it's a civil war in there.
You have a one-track mind.
They keep posting the same five women over and over again, and people...
Which five women?
It's, like, Lauren Southern. We, like, went over them. Like, that's it.
No, we didn't. Lauren's, what's her name?
Here, I'll go back. Like Lauren Southern.
The conversation.
Oh, I don't know. Like whatever. So this woman, Priti Patel, I guess she's some kind of like law lady or something. I don't know. But I find it funny because she's like an Indian lady. Let's see. Let's keep going. Tommy Lauren. Some conservative MP in the UK. Heidi Allen. Blair White keeps getting posted, and then every time Blair White gets posted, it's a civil war in the comments.
Yeah. Oh,
I think,
man,
she's getting posted as a troll because people are just like,
she's like objectively really hot.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, so it's like a civil war because half these dudes are just like, he was like, yeah, she's hot. She's hot as fuck. And the other was like, keep that gay shit out of here, son. We're trying to see that shit. Get out of here.
Bruh.
And it's just a civil war. It's hilarious.
These people need to relax.
I don't know, man. It's just...
That actually just proves hard that they're into her, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being into her. She is a woman. Trans women are women.
No, the problem isn't hers. It's theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a lot of problems. She has very problematic views on, like, things. So, she didn't make the top five conservative list for no reason.
Here, I'll just read this to you. This isn't my own thing. This is on... This is from the subreddit. So, posted Blair White, and it's, like, the third comment.
Can we not...
Okay, I guess we cannot. We cannot because Scott. It's fine.
All right. So here's something completely different. 1,000 signed petition to rename Columbus, Ohio to Flavortown after Native son Guy Fieri.
Saw that.
My God, where was this? Is this a change.org?
No, this is on CNN.com. The city of Columbus has already vowed to bring down its statue of Christopher Columbus, but thousands are hoping to erase the city's connection to Columbus's legacy even further by renaming it Flavortown in honor of Columbus native Guy Fieri. I am for this.
So on board with this.
I am for this 100%.
Do you think that he would be on the top five list of hot non-conservative men?
If you put
Guy Fieri kicks ass.
If you put a statue of Guy Fieri where Christopher Columbus was. I'd be for that.
Oh, I'd be 100% for that. I would put pennies in for that.
I actually gave like $50 like a decade ago, and it's finally happening for the RoboCop statue to go up in Detroit.
Whoa, they're doing it?
We've got it done. It's happening.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. It was a guy who's like some kind of a tech bro, and he actually started a company called Omni Consumer Products.
Oh my god.
He's like, let's do a RoboCop statue in Detroit. It's like, yeah, it happened. I was like, yep. You know, I love RoboCop. I love that RoboCop.
That is a great movie.
Crank that RoboCop. It's a pro union, pro socialist,
anti-authoritarian
like movie. Like, the corporations are bad, unions are good, men have souls even when they're robots.
Also,
the
prime directives are actually at the end of the day not the worst. Protect human
life.
No,
they're not bad at all. He's actually Peter Weller. They actually got Peter Weller to voice RoboCop for the Mortal Kombat 11 DLC.
RoboCop's in Mortal Kombat,
bruh.
What
so
the
new Mortal Kombat has the new Mortal Kombat has the like their guest characters, the Terminator, but it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, so it's like an awesome.
Boo.
Movie. Spawn, they got.
Boo.
No, they got what's his face to do it. I keep wanting to say Craig David, and that's not
Keith
right. Keith David. Thank you. They got Keith David to do the voice because he did the voice in the 90s cartoon. And remember that? You ever see that?
Mm-mm.
The HBO cartoon. It's actually
McFarlane Spawn.
He
got top billing over this character,
which is very weird.
That's very Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, he would do this whole thing. He would be like he would do this like knockoff Rod Sterling thing in the beginning where he'd sit at his desk like drawing penises or something, and he'd be like, "Hi, I'm Todd McFarlane."
Like, that sounds like the best part of the show.
He'd be like, "Hey, you caught me at work." He's like, "What if I told you were dead? What if I told you the devil said you can come back, but you have to leave my army? What would you do? Think fast. You're about to learn. You're about to see what would happen in that situation."
Stanley actually did that on the Fantastic Four on us. So there was a precedent for it, I guess.
I guess so.
He stole Stanley's gimmick.
So they got like Spawn in there. They got the Joker, which is pretty good. And then They write these fun little things for him to like interact with each other. So Spawn will be like, before he fights the Joker or whatever, the Joker will say something quippy. It's like, "Oh, I'm gonna kill you, shoot you like I did Batman," and then Spawn will just be like, "I fucking hate clowns." It's like, yes. Whoa, but
so
then
intense.
RoboCop
so
has the
dark
best.
And edgy.
It's so good. You should just watch him on YouTube. Like, just put like RoboCop Mortal Kombat 11. Mm-hmm. So good. So good. Yeah, they're really kicking ass over there at NetherRealm. It's too bad they have to work under crunch and make dudes like chain them to their desk and make them work like 3 days straight on pumped up on Adderall to make a fucking video game.
They should do the thing that the Cards Against Humanity workers are doing, which is start a union.
Absolutely.
Which I think brings us full circle to a possibly airable episode of Good Morning Comrade.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't edit these.
You can listen to Good Morning Comrade. Nobody edits these. You can listen to Good Morning Comrade on goodmorningcomrade.com.
Especially not on Thursday.
iTunes. Yeah, definitely not on Thursday. iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, Patreon. Please don't unsubscribe because of this episode. You can also check us out on Tuesdays on WHIVFM. So, guys, what do we got to say on the way out?
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th.
That will be happening.
Play you some Lee Greenwood.
Yeah. The proud to be. That's what they play when you you graduate, when you finish the Crucible in the Marine Corps. When you've
proud to be an American?
Mm-hmm. When you've gone on
That's so much. What are you talking? Oh my God.
I'm serious. So you've gone on like a 50 mile like force march. You've eaten like two meals in 4 days. You've done all this like combat train stuff, and then like so when you get through that, like that's when you give your Eagle Globe and Anchor Pendant, and then like you're a real Marine then. And they just play I'm proud. So you're like your feet are like bloody and blistered and you're like exhausted and starving. And they just play Proud to Be an American over and over again.
God, I would want to die.
Until everybody just fucking cries. I'm not kidding.
Damn, that sounds like hell. That sounds like literal hell.
That's like still part of like the training.
Yeah, you're just so happy not to like, you're so happy not to have to do it anymore. Like, you're so happy to like, oh, it's psychological bullshit because you're just so happy that like, you know, this thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
Like after you've just done the Crucible, like your drill instructors who you look up to as gods are now like calling you Marine.
It's something unpredictable. And in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
That's much better. No, but like objectively, okay, like, I am very critical of the United States, but I also like do love wearing red, white, and blue and drinking. And I do know all of the songs. And out of like all of the America songs, that's like the worst one.
It's so lame.
Proud to Be an American is like solidly terrible.
Yeah.
It's such
look, lame. Listen it's back so- into our old our archive to one of our very early episodes where I talk specifically about just Lee Greenwood songs.
Yeah. And then everybody should also be listening to Phil Oakes.
There you go. Yeah,
I've been listening to exclusively Phil Oakes, Moscow Death Brigade, and Run the Jewels.
There you go.
just when Lee Greenwood said this, the flag still stands for freedom and you can't take that away, just envision a red and black flag. There you go. And that'll get you through.
All right. All right, everybody. Love you. Bye.